Bem, hoje, na reunião dos mantras,
today in the gathering to recite mantras, we perceived very clearly the presence of the inner group of mantras. Because there is an inner group of mantras, and today's session was extremely harmonious, and it seems that it was the session in which this inner group drew closer to the mantra work than it had ever done before. This inner group represents a link with Najad. The inner temple of Mir Najad makes healing available to us and brings us great harmony. And today we witnessed a harmony that was quite different to the other sessions, which means that linkages with this inner temple are already beginning to take place. These linkages are carried out by the inner group of mantras, which attempts to draw near to us, and we in turn attempt to link up with this group. This harmony that is sought in this work, that is the work of the inner temple of Mir Najad, this work with the mantras, this work with mantras allows us to communicate in the most stable way possible with our immortal side. We have very fleeting contacts with our immortal side. We have a vague remembrance that we are immortal. We are very much connected to our external side and to what happens outside of us. This inner temple, this inner group of mantras, these beings, these consciousnesses, manifested these mantras here so that we can remain stable in our inner contact. Normally, this impression we have of our inner life is not lasting. This impression is usually very fleeting. This impression doesn't last long. So this inner temple and this inner group of mantras try to help us here to be more stable in our inner world, on our inner level. And today, this was attained more perfectly than during other gatherings. So today, the work with the mantras was significant, and we can count on this help to become more stable daily in our inner life. Those who would like to examine this subject in more detail can look it up in the book Finding the Temple, which is a pocket book, a simplified version of the book Mir Najad. The book Mir Najad goes into the subject of mantras, but which we rarely mention when we talk about the book. But anyone who is interested in this work, of becoming more stable in the inner world, can look up this book. This book, Finding the Temple and Mir Najad, states that many people are already surrendering their minds and hearts more completely to this inner nucleus. So if this surrender to one's soul or to one's higher self exists, then the mantras have a very special effect. They bring about a stability in this link, a stability in this union. In this regard, the book also states that many will see intraterrestrial cities or the cities that are on other levels, in other dimensions. They will see the projection of these cities. The reason for this is for us to become more open to the interdimensional passages. So if we see a projection of something that exists in another dimension, if we see a projection of something that exists on another level, this helps our consciousness to open up, and it helps us to move back and forth through these interdimensional passages. And this moving back and forth takes place with our subtle bodies, our inner bodies. The physical body usually remains here on the outer level, while some subtle body of ours goes through one of these passages and gets in touch with one of these civilizations. This can be very useful because at certain times, if we are in touch with two worlds at the same time, we can anticipate learning things. We can have knowledge that we would really only acquire much later. So work with mantras according to this inner temple and according to this inner group which coordinates this work. It makes it possible for us, it has in its energy the means for us to prepare for these passages. And in this way, we transcend certain limitations and we anticipate certain stages, certain phases. And of course, if the mantras are linked to a certain group and if the mantras are connected to this work, then one of the first passages we will get to know will be the passage to the kingdoms that are to work on us, or that are to receive us beforehand for this work of harmony. Prayer, when it is authentic, prayer is a way to all this as well, not only mantras, but prayer as well. That is true prayer, which is this receptivity and this aspiration for us to be able to contact superhuman energies. That is, for a transformation to take place, beginning with our present state. This work mobilizes our energies to such an extent that we can develop our intuitive level more than we have developed it so far. These energies do not work with the astral nor the mental level. These mantras and these energies are opening the doors to the intuitive world, to the spiritual world for us. So we develop our intuitive abilities this way, through this aspiration, and our ability to deal with our spirit or with our spiritual nature much more freely and much more realistically. This stimulates transformation in others. So if we are concerned with these things, if we are expanding our ability to be transported to other levels, to other worlds, to other dimensions, in this way, we are actively stimulating other people as well as sending out stimulus to the aura of the planet. So this is one kind of work. And some people feel very closely identified with this work. They feel very much attuned with this work. So it is good for them to know the extent of this work. In order to do this, we must have a fundamental humility. We must have a great love for silence. Because those who begin to be worked on in this way, those who begin to develop these things, if these individuals haven't worked on and developed the law of silence, they can interrupt their process with an inopportune word, for example. If something like this is passed on to someone who is not interested in it or who is antagonistic towards this, or who is not prepared for this, this causes a limitation in the person who was not able to maintain silence and who did not know how to make use of the word. So there may be many individuals who are having these experiences. According to the book, many beings are going through these experiences. But if these individuals are really having these experiences, they have already developed the law of silence. So we will only contact those beings in this regard when we really need some information. Otherwise, they will not tell us about this experience. So we really have to work on this law, the law of silence, among other reasons, to make it possible for us to meet up with these beings, to get in touch with these beings who are involved with these things, who are engaged in carrying out all these things. The current planetary situation, the state of chaos, and what is still to come, all this needs more than one or two beings who do this work that we would call unfolding. But this work unfolding could be misused and applied to the astral body. When we talk about unfolding, we are not referring to the separation of the astral body, but we use it in the sense that we can be conscious, lucid, in the service of and in contact with other levels, other dimensions, that are parallel to this one. If we are able to act in this world, in this life, and at the same time be in touch with other levels, other dimensions, other civilizations, or with other kinds of humanity, then, as a natural outcome, we become intermediaries between the spiritual hierarchy and the earth, between the spiritual hierarchy and human beings of the surface of the earth. Now, the work of prayer in this sense is not to ask for things, but the work of prayer in this sense, for us to become open to these things and in time to work at these things, would be to nurture a state of receptivity, unconditional receptivity, without the mind intervening there. This kind of prayer requires us to have no other concern, no other interest except this one. So if we have several concerns, even if they be in the spiritual field, and if we venture into different kinds of service on the spiritual level, I'm not sure this can be effectively and swiftly fulfilled. Apart from our karmic and external activities, we would have to be totally focused on this, totally dedicated to this offering, and at the same time that we are totally focused on this offering and that we are willing to do this work. At the same time, we should be totally uninterested in obtaining any kind of result. So we offer ourselves, we are willing, and if nothing at all happens, we should not get upset. We should not in any way be worried about the results of all this, because the results of all this may appear on the innermost levels of our being. They may appear on levels where we are not aware of them, not conscious of what is taking place there. Furthermore, when we have made this offering, when we are on this pathway, when we are being worked on for this kind of service, we should be indifferent to any kind of phenomena that might appear to us, because with this stimulation, A field of manifestation of phenomena could open up in our bodies that is much broader than the field that is normally open. So we have to have all this very clear in our consciousness, but we should not pay too much attention to what we hear, to what we see, to what we feel during this work of attunement and inwardness. Our turning inward takes place through the soul, and what we see, hear, perceive happens on a lower level. And the level of the senses is a level of vision, a level of almost material perception, which, however, can be useful. If we are working and have a vision, or if we have a manifestation of hearing, this can be useful for the personality. But it can also sidetrack the personality from the path, because our sight, our perception, our hearing can be influenced by levels below this one we are describing. So, if this mechanism of seeing, of perceiving, of hearing is already developed in us, before we go into more elevated work, we would have to become very neutral to all this in order not to stimulate this mechanism, not to stir up this mechanism which could bring signs, which could bring information, which could bring issues that are mixed with the astral level and the mental level of humanity in general, as well as with our own. So when we talk about this kind of work, many people say, but I am not clairvoyant, I am not a seer, I don't hear anything. So much the better. These are the better people for this kind of work, because they have the possibility, the opportunity to get in touch directly with what is real. They have the possibility of grasping through intuition. Through intuition, they have the possibility of contacting the essence of these things without going through all these phenomena of the etheric, the astral, and the mental levels. Because if we don't have a certain experience in dealing with these, we can fall into illusion, we can be misguided. Another point is for us to be totally open, totally willing to recognize our mistakes if they happen to be pointed out to us. So it's very simple to say this, but you have probably already noticed that when you face some mistake, when you have to face some weakness, some failing, you are not very willing to go into it very deeply. You try to justify yourselves. You try to find reasons to explain the failing. You don't have to explain a failing. You have to recognize the failing and deal with it and do the opposite. There's nothing to justify, nothing to explain. To explain, to justify from this perspective is simply a waste of energy. You don't have to justify anything. Did you look into the mirror and find something? So that's what it is. Don't justify yourselves. Don't fool yourselves. Don't try to see that as something else. Don't waste time. This is a very basic condition for those who might be in this work, to be on two levels at the same time. Because on another level, you can see yourself much more clearly. And if you are not used to recognizing your failings in all tranquility, you cannot go on to the other level, because on the other level, you will perceive everything about yourself, which you cannot see here. So you go on to the other level and you collapse when you see what is here on this level. So this exercise of facing our failings, our mistakes, of facing our human things without wanting to justify them, without wanting to explain them, without wanting to do anything to camouflage them. This is basic, because when you see yourself from another level, there's no way for you not to admit it, because it is so real that there's no way you can contest it, justify it. So this personality trend of those who do not like to face their weaknesses is something that we would have to put aside. Otherwise, we will not have the conditions to enter another level and to see this level from there. Do you see how these mantras are linked to so many things? So this is why when we enunciate a certain mantra, then we use another mantra that does a different kind of work. This is to balance out these states, these situations. Then once we are willing to see ourselves as we really are, this has to give us a feeling of joy, and not a feeling of sadness or of downheartedness. But we should feel great joy because we saw some aspect of ourselves that we hadn't perceived up until then. When we give praise for this, when we express this joy inwardly, then we will begin to see a transformation take place. And that which was a failing, that which was an error, a weakness, we will begin to see these energies gathering to heal these, to transform these, to change these situations. It would also be very good during this course of events, this pathway, for us not to compare ourselves with others. Because if there is someone else doing the same work, and generally when these beings reach a certain level of this work, they recognize one another. So when you are engaged in a certain inner work, on a certain level, you will recognize those who cooperate with you. You will recognize the groups that carry out similar work. And at this point, we have to be ready not to compare ourselves with anyone else. Because no matter whom we meet carrying out the same work, they will be different to us. The individual will be different to us, and the way of carrying out the work will be different to our way. So we shouldn't compare ourselves to anyone else as regards to this work. And likewise, we have to accept the way the other individuals do this work, because we have to accept the way as his or her way of doing it. My way is different. There's no comparison. There's no way at all of comparing. And also, we should be aware that everything leads to the good. Whatever might happen, it leads to the good. Even when we have to learn some lesson and see that something is not quite the way it should have been on this pathway of spiritual exercises, we have to realize that everything happens for the good. So even if you prepare yourself for many things, and then at the time of fulfilling them, nothing happens, you should already be prepared to realize that everything happens for the good. So what you sought, what should have happened, didn't happen. You have to be prepared not to get upset over this. You have to be ready to say, if it didn't happen, it was for the good. This has to be already developed in us, ready. So you can see that there is nothing pretentious about your going to another level and being in another dimension at the same time. These are simple things. Anyone can work at these things. Anyone can carry out these things. The only condition is to be ready to move away from the point where one stands, to not go on being the way one is. because these things are very different from the commonplace life, from the commonplace moving back and forth between one region and another on the physical level. To go from one region to another, all we have to do is to take a plane, a car, ride a bicycle, walk, ride a horse, and you get there, but there is no vehicle to take you to another level. Even if we imagine that we can be transported by a space vessel, this space vessel is not going to take us if we have not prepared ourselves, if we have not developed this willingness, and if we don't have this base at least awakened. But it always has to go on being worked on, because no one is perfect. But this should already be awakened, and we should already be pursuing all these things. Even if everything is running perfectly well, and even if everything is proceeding securely, even if we have no doubt, we have to be observant at all times to see if things that are happening are really coming from a higher level and really have a higher quality, or if this is fruit of our imagination, of our human creation, or of our human desire, that can bring about many manifestations of phenomena for us. But as for phenomena, we have been well warned to be very careful with these, because they merely densify something that can be much more subtle. Now, besides looking at phenomena this way, we have to see if these are real or if they are a projection of our human consciousness, of our human desire. And here it is very good for us to find helpers, subtle beings, perceptive beings, observant beings, who can give us those tones, who can give us those signs, who can draw our attention to certain things. And generally, those who are observant know that what is happening to us really comes from on high, or what is happening to us is a series of phenomena moved by human desire. We have to persevere in this. We have to know what we want and persevere. Because anxieties, distractions, negative thoughts, all these appear, the interferences, all these come to turn us away from the work. And we have to be very attentive for all these not to distract us. Even if we do become distracted, even if we catch ourselves unawares being sidetracked, we have to focus our attention again and not let ourselves be distracted by this. Is there some part of you that is distracted? Is there some part of you that is wrapped up in something else at the time? Take note of it and go back to your alignment. Hold on to your concentration. Everything that happens in life is a stage setting, a drama. But deep inside, we have this intention. Deep inside, we are following this process. We shouldn't be upset if we are overly distracted, if we stray too far. As soon as we get a hold of ourselves, we take up this process again. We stand firm in this process, and we have to have a lot of patience to be in all this going back and forth of this process without letting go and without thinking that we have been cut off just because we got distracted. So it's one thing for us to perceive something and share that with some other participant. This is not only valid, but it may even be necessary, both for the other participant and for ourselves. This is different to the tendency that the personality acquires or develops along this pathway to be guiding others, to be teaching others. This tendency emerges here. When one feels fairly secure of what you are involved in, of what is going on, this tendency can emerge for you to begin to guide others. You cannot guide others because the others might not be heading towards the same place as you. You can guide someone along the path which you are familiar with, but you don't know if the details of the other person's way are the same as the details that you experienced. So to guide someone else is the last thing we are going to do unless we receive many signs, many indications in this regard, and that you have no doubt whatsoever. And if we receive a sign to guide someone else along such a pathway, the other person immediately corresponds to this and feels totally at ease within this guidance. If the other person is not unconditionally open to be guided, right away you can see that there was some mistake in setting up the direction or something changed. Because in work like this, if perchance it is up to us to guide someone else, this has to be matched in the other person by a total receptivity, a total openness for this. So there is no way we can make a mistake. And even if the other person is open to being guided, even if the other person is open to what you can give and to what you can offer, you still have to place this under light to be even more certain that it is not merely a tendency of yours to guide others, or if that is really a task that you have to undertake at this time. You can see that we are considering very subtle issues, very simple things, but we usually forget them. We put them to one side as we deal with the path in daily life. Here we have the thought for the day. After all, there is no weakness so infinite that it cannot be transformed into strength. It's a saying given by the mother. So no matter how weak we may be, no matter how unqualified we may appear to be to do certain things, to take on certain tasks, to get into certain bold activities, no matter how apparent it may be that we are incapable of doing that, according to the mother, this can all be transformed into great strength. And it is better for us to be humble. It is better for us to consider that we are not up to par than to think that we are ready to take on this task. Do you see? So along this pathway, it is better for you to think that you are nothing than to consider you are already something. There is no comparison. Because if you think you are something, if you think you are ready for everything, from then on you will have to depend on your own forces. You will have to size up your own forces and deal with them. Whereas, if you have the deep conviction that you are not prepared, that you are unable, that you are inadequate, that you cannot, if you have this deep-seated conviction, but if you are open, if you have surrender and have faith, then your forces will be multiplied, and a real miracle will happen there. And those who were not prepared could turn out to be the most suitable, more suitable than those who, to a certain extent, were already prepared, but who had forgotten humility, had forgotten silence, had forgotten to keep their words under control, had forgotten to ask for inner light, even when they were sure of something. Because to be sure of something can really be a test. So you can feel sure of everything, but keep on asking for light. Keep on asking for light because you are only sure of something up to a certain point. If things change in the universe, you can no longer be sure of anything. If things change in the solar system, you are no longer sure of anything. If things change in the consciousness of this planet, you are also no longer sure of anything. All you need is a split second for you to no longer be sure of anything. So even when we are sure, we have to keep on checking to see if things are really this way, always asking for light, always thinking that we can learn more. And if to a certain degree we have already attained a level of being able to do this work, we always have to think that we could attain a better level. We can always improve. So we are not really sure of anything. We are only sure of that which comes to us according to our needs. If we have faith, we can be sure of this because this is a law. As for all the rest, we have to keep on asking for light, to keep on asking for help, and always be ready for any transformation. This is very simple. And then things begin to happen to us and around us without any impediment. But as soon as a bit of pride creeps in, as soon as a shade of resistance towards seeing ourselves as we really are creeps in, this entire process is postponed until another opportunity comes by. Do you have any questions? Inner light is something that shines, that comes to you, that is revealed to you, insofar as you need it and want it. So you have to give a sign that you want this light. This sign is like a petition. It's a sign that you are warming up to it, that you are accepting the light. Because the light, at first, shows us unpleasant things, and only then it begins to show us the other things. No one is going to receive light about something very positive before being shown something that has to be changed in the person, that has to be transformed. And light is quick and brief. When the light shines on something, there is no doubt about what is being shown there. There is no doubt whatsoever. So for light to reach us, we have to give our consent. We have to want it. Because not everyone wants to see things clearly. Not everyone wants light. Light is there, accessible to all. And why doesn't everybody have it? Because they don't want it. They don't really want it. So we have to give a sign, we have to give some indication. An indication must come from all the levels of our personality that we do want light, because light greatly disturbs everything that is impure. But light doesn't come to disturb. It's what is impure that becomes disturbed by light. So all the levels of the personality must be offered up in order for light to be manifested. The mind must agree to it. The emotional body must agree to it. The nervous system must agree to it. All the levels must agree to it so that light can come in all its fullness.